Welcome to Tech Insights from InfoTech Research Group, the podcast where we cut through all the noise and focus on what really matters for technology leaders. If you're like me, you use the web every day, and you do so just about as easily as you breathe. Reading websites is effortless. But imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if you suddenly couldn't read the text on your favorite news website, or if the layout of that online store you were shopping became so confusing it was impossible to make sense of it, or if you just couldn't even type your search term into Google. That's what using the web can be like for people that are differently abled. The web has generally been a pretty unwelcoming place if you are visually impaired, especially. The web content accessibility guidelines are an international standard that's trying to change that. It aims to help website owners adapt their content to be accessible for as many people as possible. And this summer, version 2.2 of the guidelines will become the official standard. That will mean that some laws that require accessibility will also be updated. Here to tell me more about this is Mike Cart, the Vice President of Site Improve Canada. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Welcome. Glad to have you here. Why don't you tell us what Site Improve is and why does it care so much about accessibility?
Yeah, I'd love to. So first off, who Site Improve is. We are a software as a service that scans companies and organizations' websites and uncover deficiencies and data points that are then reported on so they can be actioned. Being able to have coverage of your web properties gives customers the digital certainty they want and demand in this digital world we live in these days. Of the vast amount of products we have, including the comprehensive digital marketing and quality assurance modules, plus more, today we're going to focus in on our accessibility focus. So why do we care about accessibility? Well, as a member of the W3C, which is the World Wide Web Consortium, the organizing body behind WCAG guidelines, Site Improve is a thought leader in the accessibility space, and we believe that accessing and being able to use any website is a fundamental right for everyone, regardless of their abilities. We have several staff members in Canada, the US, and international working as invited experts with the W3C, participating in standards work, including the development of WCAG 2.2 and 3.0. And last year, we finalized a three-year project commissioned by the W3C to write a standardized set of test cases for meeting WCAG, which, of course, is the basis for our conformance checks.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for telling me about that. Mike, how hard is it to meet these accessibility standards in general?
Well, I mean, it's a process, not a project. So it's definitely something that there needs to be a plan in place to be able to make sure that you are able to take a look for all different levels of conformance, from single A being the most prominent to AAA being the gold standard. So making sure that there is a plan in place to be able to action that is definitely step one that all the organizations and companies we deal with advise to do.
Okay, so it's a spectrum, and the important thing is that you're trying, I guess.
Yeah, you're trying and you have a plan. So with Site Improve as the automated tool that we are, that also adds different services for education, as well as advisors and consultants to help teach, as well as for manual testing, it definitely requires a strategic action point that we see have the most success when it comes from the top down. If the C-suite is saying this is important, it's going to trickle down to all the other individuals to make sure that that happens, not just as a band-aid, but as a solution.
Mm-hmm. And you recently conducted some research, you being Site Improve, and you were sort of looking at the top issues that differently abled people face when browsing websites. What did you find?
Yeah, no, we... together with our partners at Fable Tech Labs, we spoke to 55 individuals across Canada, aged 18 and older, who have one or more disability that impact the way they navigate the web. With the ongoing lockdowns during the COVID pandemic, over 50% said they've become much more reliant on the internet, while at the same time, 63% say they're more limited to browse and use internet compared to those who don't face barriers to accessibility. So some respondents reported a change in behavior due to accessibility issues, such as switching to a more accessible online clothing store, switching to a more accessible audio video conferencing software, which all of us are on a daily basis now, switching to a more digitally accessible entertainment source, or shopping in person rather than online at a pharmacy, health, and beauty stores. So it's been pretty interesting to take a look at the data from the survey that we did.
Right. So the point the research makes there is that if you don't do this, you actually stand to lose some customers, because there are people out there that are making decisions to switch where they're shopping or what products they're using based on accessibility standards.
Yeah, no, you nailed it right there. I mean, in North America and in the world, about 1 in 5 individuals identify themselves as having a form of disability. So you take a look at that. I mean, that's a large number that can't be ignored. And especially with the disruption that's happened with COVID, it's pushed everyone to a digital presence more than any other time before in the history. So it's really exposed websites that don't have accessible content, which, besides being an ethical principle, it's also impacting them economically as well.
There you go. And that's what always gets businesses' attention, is when you tell them that something's going to impact their bottom line. Of course, we should just be doing this because that we want equal treatment, equal access to everybody, regardless of their capabilities. So let's get into more of the details around the web content accessibility guidelines, because you talk about the story to like sort of motivate companies to do this, right? So we've made that case a little bit here, but then it's like, well, how do we do it? And how do we know where to look and what to do? And these are the guidelines, the WCAG, and you've talked about it a bit. It sounds like you're quite involved with it. Just tell us a little bit about that standard. What are the main things we need to know about?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So WCAG, so this was actually written first in 1999. So it's about 22 years old, and is the basis for web accessibility laws at both the federal level and provincial level here in Canada, for the US government, and in the United Kingdom, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and the European Union. So what it does is it provides guidance to organizations on how to prevent creating digital barriers on their websites and improves the experience for all users. In our platform, we are able to educate your team on why and how, as well as what. We break down WCAG into easy to understand terms of what an organization needs to do to meet the requirements.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward the way you broke it down there. And connect this now. So we have this set of standards, and my understanding is that a lot of jurisdictions, states, and provinces across North America actually use this standard for their laws. Is that right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of like what are the different jurisdictions maybe that tie their laws to these standards?
Yeah, so in Canada, different provincial standards have things in place. So the most prominent one, and the one that's making the most noise from the most populated province here, would be Ontario with AODA. In the U.S., they were a little ahead of Canada in regards to looking at this from a federal level with the ADA. And then there's a number of different other types of jurisdictional laws that are in place in different countries within Europe specifically as well.
Okay. And there are changes coming this summer, as I've been talking about. So what's going to change about the Act? What are the new features that we expect to see added to the standard?
Yeah, no, we've had the pleasure to work in collaboration with the W3C to write the new rules for WCAG 2.2, which will also be added to our platform. There's going to be 9 new success criteria added in 2.2, which focuses on areas that will improve accessibility for users with cognitive or learning disabilities, users with low vision, and users with disabilities on mobile devices.
Okay, great. So how can businesses get ready for that?
They can, being able to have the strategy that they have right now, being able to have 9 extra checks, you want to have a plan. So if you're just looking to start right from July, right from the summer, you're already behind. So this is something that a lot of businesses that we speak with already have some sort of plan in place. We're assisting with that, or they are really looking to address that. So then once those standards come in, they're able to then tackle that and add that on to their list and just adjust their strategy to be able to make sure that those are covered.
If a business isn't able to meet these standards, is there actually penalties involved? Are there many states or provinces where if you don't follow the rules, you face some sort of penalty?
Yeah, so for example here, I'll give you the example in Ontario. The deadline is June 30th to file your accessibility report. So as per the AODA, if you are not compliant or have a detailed report submitted by then, you could be subject to a $100,000 per day fine. So
per day,
it is something that, yeah, per day.
Wow, that gets expensive very quickly.
Very quickly.
And who has to comply with these standards?
It has to be private organizations with 50 people or more, as well as nonprofit and public organizations.
Okay. So it's not like this is only for big business. Even a pretty small company or mid-sized company has to meet these standards for its web presence.
That's correct.
Because what I'm wondering, right, because we're talking about these changes, and I'm wondering how good businesses are at actually putting the existing standards into place right now, and how accessible is the web today?
Yeah, I mean, million-dollar question, right? So, you know, it's difficult to determine, you know, given the ever-evolving nature of web accessibility and the sheer magnitude of the web. But there have been studies done that indicate the majority of the web is not accessible. You know, however, though, specifically in recent years, organizations are continuing to make progress daily, and with awareness growing, specifically with COVID being a big catalyst, I believe this movement, this positive movement, will continue. There have been global trends in business across several industries, as mentioned, accelerated by COVID, and the shift towards millions of people now working remotely. Towards recognizing diversity in the talent and abilities in the workforce and the need for inclusion at every level of the business. So this includes digital accessibility and the critical need to make websites and applications accessible to people with disabilities as they have shifted to remote work as well. We're truly in an exciting time of global change.
That's great to hear. When you're making the case to businesses, because we talk about the need for compliance, the penalties, right, the law, but what are some of the benefits of doing this, just to look at the positive side of it?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So when websites are designed with accessibility in mind, people of all abilities benefit. So an accessible website improves usability for everyone. It increases your search engine optimization or SEO. You reach a wider audience, you elevate your reputation, and you reduce the risk of legal implications. So you really cover a lot of different areas.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're just able to be useful to more people. So I think that to me is the biggest one. And sometimes I think if you're looking for peripheral benefits of this, one thing I've heard, and you tell me if I'm right, but don't you get like better search engine optimization out of implementing some of these things?
You certainly do. Google favors the code that is more accessible. So if you're able to do that, as mentioned, you're going to be able to be found by more people. And for most businesses, that is a very good thing.
Right. So not only will you be accessible to people with disabilities, but you'll be able to find more customers because you'll be ranked higher on Google. So there you go. Those are some good benefits. So, Mike, I wanted to test InfoTech, right? Because I'm looking at Site Improve's accessibility tests that you have available online. And, you know, I imagine that this is like a lead gen sort of thing for you, but it is a free tool and you get a little bit of a free report on issues that are highlighted in a checklist when you use it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I put in infotech.com and it received a grade of 84%. So that's an A. I thought that was pretty good. Just to comment on that grade first, how do you think that sounds?
Yeah, so 84%, Brian, is definitely good. So, you know, it allows, you know, the score is good. So it also allows InfoTech to set goals and determine next steps in becoming even more accessible. You know, so fixing issues doesn't have to be hard as well. So, you know, our platform, for example, here at Site Improve allows users to filter issues by responsibility, conformance. So I mentioned the single A, double A, triple A. And severity, allowing for a smoother process in the remediation stage.
Okay, good to hear. And then you do get some issues highlighted, right, as you mentioned. And the issues that were a problem for InfoTech here, there were two of them. So there was an input field that has no description and an element ID that is not unique. Now, I'm not really sure what that means. Can you explain those things to me?
Yeah, so basically the first one without a description, is that the one, Sarge? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, the first one was a field that has no description, an input field.
Yeah, so basically the code, in the code on the back end, there is no description for what the title is. So maybe on the surface level, you're able to put what it is, whatever the title of the topic of the piece is, but in the actual code, when screen readers, the software for individuals that have vision impairments look at that, it doesn't show anything. So it's not able to identify that.
Right. So if I'm a visually impaired person, I wouldn't know what to write into that field.
That is correct. You wouldn't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the element ID is not unique. What does that mean?
Yeah. So the element ID is not unique. So essentially it's just there is no actual more customized description to it. So this is something that our consultants would be able to come in and help, depending on what the context of that is, be able to put more detail towards it. So then when a screen reader or technology that's assisted for individuals that do have visual impairment is going to be able to identify that with more detail.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess I'll pass that on and take it to our web team or something so that they can get to work on that. But appreciate the breakdown, Mike.
No problem. I mean, a lot of people, one of the things too, Brian, a lot of people get overwhelmed by accessibility. We do a lot of research where they just don't know where to start. So they don't know, they're not accessibility experts, and that's okay, right? So that's where, you know, a company like Site Improve is gonna be able to hold your hand with the software to take a look at it, the education from our academy courses, as well as being able to talk to trained and experts that are able to really help fill in the cracks as well. So it's definitely something that we hear and see quite often.
Great. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us here on Tech Insights today and telling us about this important issue.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks, Brian.
And for our listeners out there, remember to subscribe to Tech Insights. We're available with a new episode every Monday morning. And what you want to do is hit subscribe so you get that right into your podcast app. We're available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, and really wherever you get your podcasts. For InfoTech Research Group, I'm Brian Jackson.